Welcome to Fantasy Football Today Dynasty. I am your host, Heath Cummings, joined by a very special guest today, Rich Cooling, a.k.a. Dynasty Island on Twitter. He is from Fantasy Sanctuary. Rich, thank you so much for being here.
No, thank you so much for coming on. It's a true honor. So yeah, really appreciate it.
Now, Rich, you reached out to me a couple of weeks ago wanting to share with me the Fantasy Sanctuary rookie draft guide. And I would like for you to just take a minute to kind of tell everybody all about that and where they can get it.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. So it's year two of me creating a draft guide. So last year was first year, just tried to, I guess, combine my love of film and analytics. So try to watch as many players as possible, but also add in all of my kind of rookie models for the running back, wide receiver, tight end position. So got it all in one place. So yeah, 80 players I watched in version one, which we released last week. So got kind of film breakdowns of them, and then all my rankings, all the rookie model information, all in one place. My aim every year is to get every single player that attends the combine and is drafted in the guide. So yeah, I think we're probably looking at about 110 players this year. So that will then be released a week after the draft in early May.
Now, I'll give everybody a peek behind the curtain, because the way this works is I talk to guests and we make a plan maybe a week or two in advance. We're going to talk about this random topic. And I thought, I want to give Rich a chance to tell everybody about the prospect guide. So we will talk about rookies. And we've talked about a lot about rookies lately. And then yesterday happened. And I sent Rich a message in the middle of the afternoon. I did not expect day one of free agency to go like day one, and I guess day one and a half. No, we're still on day one, because it's been 23 hours and maybe 23 running backs have signed. So I said, we're going to have to shift gears today. We are going to talk everything free agency from a dynasty perspective. We will talk Kirk Cousins on the Falcons. We will talk Josh Jacobs on the Packers, Saquon Barkley on the Eagles, and more. But first, I do want to squeeze in a little bit of rookie talk, since that's what I told Rich that he'd be coming on to talk about in the first place. Rich, we start every show with three questions for our guest. One of them is the same question everyone gets. Well, it's been a little bit different the last couple of episodes, because everyone's answer was the same. So what is your one non-negotiable rule when it comes to a dynasty league? It cannot be Superflex, because everyone's already said that.
Yeah, it's the way the world's gone, isn't it? For me, it's depth. I'm only interested in leagues that are kind of 30 roster spots deep. I basically want to almost completely rule out waivers as a way of acquiring players. I'm looking for really deep leagues that I'm not having to think about cutting players or adding guys off the waiver wire.
That's an interesting, I've really liked taking the lineup setting decision out in some of my leagues, going with the best ball. And I hadn't heard it framed like that, that it kind of takes the waivers out of the league in those deeper leagues. It certainly does. I'm curious, like, what you do or prefer in the off season on those leagues, because we had a guest last week and we were talking about how I really like to limit waiver additions in the off season so we can get to July or August and have like a mini free agency period like the NFL is having right now.
Yeah, I'm the complete opposite. I like it open all year round. I really like the ability to be active if you want it. For me, because I'm playing in those deeper leagues, the chances of, you know, someone in signing in free agency or getting traded not being on a roster are pretty small.
Right.
So, you know, if you want to go out and add up, you know, Colby Parkinson or someone like that, by all means, go and do it. But yeah, there's no leagues where some of those lesser players that are potentially fantasy relevant are going to be on waivers. So I'm happy keeping them open all year round, really.
Awesome. Okay, so let's get to the rookies now. Who are your three favorite rookie running backs? And then after all this mess of the last 23 hours, give me your favorite landing spots for them.
Okay, so I'll caveat this by saying I think the top three is tough, because I've sort of got a tier of six, and depending how draft capital goes, it could be that. But my RB1 at the moment is Jonathan Brooks. I think he's the most likely to be a truth three-down workhorse at the next level. For landing spot, I've probably gone a little bit different. I've picked Arizona as my ideal landing spot. he is obviously coming off that ACL injury. I think that the scheme fit and the fit with Kyler Murray at quarterback and what we're hoping is going to be an explosive offense if they add a stud receiver. James Conner is under contract this year, and I think he's potentially, this will be his last year in Arizona, and I think that you could almost redshirt Jonathan Brooks for a year, maybe get some work at the back end of the year, and then take over as the true three-down workhorse for 2025 and beyond. And then next, guys, so I've got Trey Benson going to Baltimore. I think, look, that's a great landing spot for whoever ends up being the guy there. I think he'd be a, you know, potential three-down back and would be a really nice compliment to Lamar. And then my final guy, a little bit worried after the combine, but Bucky Irving, I think he could be kind of the lightning to, if it's Gus Edwards, Gus Edwards thunder. I think he could be a really nice 1-2 punch in Los Angeles for what we're expecting to be a run first offense under Harbaugh.
I do think it's interesting that Los Angeles is one of the places. I mean, they added Gus, sure, and he'll probably get his 8 to 10 carries per game. But they didn't go big in the free agent market. And that is a place with Harbaugh and with Greg Roman where we expect a bunch of rush attempts this year. And so that will be a favorite landing spot, I think, for rookies, even with the Edwards. I want to go back to Brooks for a second, because I agree with you in terms of like evaluating the running backs based on what they could be eventually. Brooks is the guy. And you mentioned that red shirt season. And so that seems to me like it makes him a better pick, because I'm pretty convinced an RB is going to end up in round one. And yeah, probably two, but at least one. And those teams are generally the win now teams. Not always. Like, there's lots of trades and everything. But it does seem like it's easier to pull the trigger on Brooks if you're one of those teams picking early in round two than if you're one of those teams that's trying to win this year and you feel like you're a running back away.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the question there is, a lot of the leagues I play in, those kind of late firsts have already been traded to rebuilding teams. There's not a huge amount of contenders that have kept their first round picks. But yeah, I think, you know, if you're in that win now window and are looking for a player that's going to push you over the top, I'm not sure Brooks is potentially going to be that in year one. I mean, it could be that he's a fantastic player. If you've got a competitive team, you can get through the first 10, 12 weeks of the year without him.
Well, that's what I bring up.
Up and running, he could be great for those playoffs.
Like last year, I kind of shied away from both Javonte Williams and Breece Hall coming off the ACL. And it turned out that Javonte Williams didn't really ever get back to what he was. And Breece Hall took like 4 weeks and then he was producing his RB1. So it is possible that Jonathan Brooks could take the Breece Hall path and just be 100% by the middle of the season. That's a good point. And that's really, if you're a true contender, all you care about is what he is this end of the year anyway. Third question, who is your favorite rookie sleeper?
So I'm going to cheat here and have two. So I've got like a mid-sleeper, Frank Gore Jr. I think analytically, there's some really interesting aspects in terms of, you look at yards per team attempt, he's in the 90th percentile, that kind of thing. And obviously, you know, being Frank Gore's son, you know, the NFL bloodlines are there. My deep, deep sleeper is Jordan Whittington out of Texas. He's an interesting evaluation because he played running back in the first part of his career, then transitioned to wide receiver. He's one of these players that can line up outside in the slot, out of the running back position. He could get the ball in all sorts of interesting ways. But the really fascinating thing for me is he's clearly a very smart football player. And I think he is phenomenal against zone, which, you know, we saw Puka Nacua. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be Puka Nacua, but obviously he had a fairly incredible year last year. And a lot of that was basically him really understanding NFL defenses and being able to pick apart zone coverages. That's what I see in Jordan Whittington. So, yeah, he's probably going to be a day three pick in the NFL draft. He's probably going to be a fourth, fifth round pick in rookie drafts. But there is an interesting profile there that I think I'm looking for upside in those later round picks. And he's the kind of guy that could potentially have it.
So what I love there is you gave us a name, and it may not be a name we've talked about because it's the kid, but a name that everybody knows in Frank Gore. It's Frank Gore Jr. And then a name, Jordan Whittington, that I don't think has been mentioned on this show yet during draft season. So that, we got a new name. We got an old name. The old name is the young guy. That's fantastic. Let's take a short break, and then we will get into what was a wild first day of free agency. Okay, Rich, so we are back, and I tried to order these things kind of as I saw them in terms of relevance, because I know we're not going to get to everything today. But I want to start with what seems like the biggest shoe to drop, and Thomas is maybe crying backstage, or maybe happy backstage. I'm not sure how Thomas feels about it. Kirk Cousins goes to the Atlanta Falcons. 4-year deal. Who knows how many years he's actually going to be there, but more than one, I think. Two feels very safe. This is such a huge, huge change in the landscape of the Atlanta Falcons. We've spent the last couple of years in the Arthur Smith offense with the extremely run heavy approach. Now they've got a defensive head coach. I'm not sure they're not going to throw it 650 times like the Vikings did, but let's just start with what it means for the pass catchers. Drake London, just absolutely to the moon.
Yeah, absolutely. I love Drake London as a prospect. I think he's been phenomenal in fairly challenging circumstances, mm-hmm. both in terms of quarterback play, but also, you know, you said being a run first offense and all that side of things. You look at the advanced stats, 14th in targets per route run across the last two seasons, 25th in yards per route run. I think he's massively underrated. He can work all three levels of the field. And yeah, he's a top 10 dynasty wide receiver for me right now.
So I've got, that's what I was going to ask you next. I've currently got him at wide receiver 13. I will put my next public dynasty rankings out in about a week and a half. I take vacation next week and then I'll let everything land where it lands with free agency and then fully update. And London's going to be somewhere around 12. I'm confident. You've got him 6, 7, 8, 9, right in that range.
So he's 10 for me. So he's 10. In a tier. Perfect. Along with Chris Olave and Tyreek Hill, just ahead of Pittman, DJ Moore, Jalen Waddle, that sort of guys.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of those same guys in the same range. I think that will be a pretty common assessment. Like I don't think anybody's going to be too skeptical of Drake London going into next year. We're all just going to expect that he makes this massive leap. I'm not sure it's exactly the same for Kyle Pitts, just because, I mean, it's been 3 years of excuse making for Kyle Pitts. And some of them are, I don't want to say that in a negative way about him. Some of them are very valid excuses. But where he came from as like the 101 in some rookie drafts to a, definitely a first round startup pick, to year two was rough. Year three was maybe hurt. Jonnu Smith taking production away from him. How back in are you on Kyle Pitts?
I'm pretty back in. Yeah. I'll be honest, I was never really hugely out. I've always been a bit of a believer. But I guess for me, the way I play Dynasty, I don't overly value the tight end position. I think mm-hmm. over the last few years, we've almost been spoilt by Travis Kelce. And you look at his kind of value over an average player of sort of 7-8 points per game. That's been massive. You compare that to like guys like Sam LaPorta and Trey McBride, who were phenomenal last year, but were only kind of four or five points per game better than an average replacement. And I think that we're almost valuing those young tight ends as if they're Travis Kelce, but actually they're only a little bit better than average. And I think that for me, the way I'm playing Dynasty, I'm looking for upside. And I think that of those top 6-7 tight ends, Kyle Pitts has got more upside than basically anyone. So he's tight end 4 for me. I'd quite happily tear down from Sam LaPorta or Trey McBride to go and get Pitts plus in a trade if I'm looking to make that move.
Also tight end 4 for me. I actually had him one spot behind Dalton Kincaid before Cousins signed with Atlanta. He moved back in front of Dalton Kincaid. I've got LaPorta, McBride, and Mark Andrews as the three tight ends in front of him. And I think like it will be interesting. I've got some late firsts that I thought about seeing. You know, I wonder if somebody thinks this is their chance to get out on Kyle Pitts. So I might send that offer. I don't think you're probably getting a top 8 pick in a super flex draft or a top 7 pick for him. So it'll be interesting to see if anybody decides it's time to move off of him based on this news. I did want to start with the positive of this move, but I do think it's worth saying because Kirk Cousins has been a borderline QB1 in Minnesota. In fact, better than that at times, even with the great weapons in Drake London and Kyle Pitts. I feel like this is a pretty significant downgrade for Kirk Cousins from both a 2024 and a dynasty perspective.
Yeah, I mean, it's how can you go from the best wide receiver in the league, probably one of the best wide receiver twos and an elite tight end? It's always going to be a downgrade wherever you go, isn't it? I think for me, it's a significant downgrade for 2024. The fact that he's got a secure home now, probably looking at the contract for 3 years. That's kind of held his value in Dynasty. I think there's probably, what, 10 guys at the moment that you can comfortably say are going to be a starter for the next 3 years. So that has essentially kind of negated the short-term downgrade, because it's a slightly upgrade longer term as such.
When you look at Cousins versus, say, Jared Goff and Baker Mayfield just got the new deal that probably means he's starting for 2 years. Is he clearly ahead of those guys? Is he right in the mix with those guys? I've got him in that low-end QB2 range with those guys.
Yeah, see, I've got him a tier ahead of Baker Mayfield. I think both the longevity and the production, I think he's going to be better. I've got him a tier behind Jared Goff, and that's based on me expecting Jared Goff to get some sort of extension this year. Going into the final year of his contract, I'd be shocked if the Lions allowed that to play out. And I think we're going to see probably a similar contract to what Kirk Cousins signed, maybe a little bit more money down the road kind of thing. But I think Jared Goff is going to have at least that sort of longer term security that Kirk Cousins has got.
Yeah, I do think that, like, I guess the one thing that might change that is what the Lions have seen from Hendon Hooker. But yeah, as somebody had mentioned to me when they looked at my quarterback rankings, they said, it seems like Hooker's too high. I said, well, I kind of liked him, and they've not extended Jared Goff yet. And so there's just that little bit of window that I'm not entirely sure, but you're right. It's probably an absolute monster deal for Jared Goff that all of us in 2016 or 2017 would have just been flabbergasted by. Can't wait to see it. Any fear creeping in about Justin Jefferson, about Jordan Addison, about TJ Hawkinson, that the Vikings did sign or will sign Sam Darnold? That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be their starter, but he's the best quarterback on their roster right now. And that's a pretty big downgrade from Kirk Cousins. Are you downgrading those guys at all?
I'm not moving Justin Jefferson. I think he's good enough. I think we've seen plenty of bad quarterbacks be able to sustain one kind of superstar, and I think Justin Jefferson's so good that he could put up fantasy points with me throwing him the ball, quite frankly. I think it is a real concern for Jordan Addison. I think if it is Sam Darnold, if we do see them perhaps get aggressive in the draft and bring in like a JJ McCarthy or something like that, it's normally the second receiver that we see take the hit. So I was a huge Jordan Addison guy coming out last year. He was my wide receiver one in the draft, but I'm concerned about him moving forward. And then TJ Hawkinson, I was already lower than consensus, that late season injury. I don't know how healthy he's going to be to start the year, whether he ends up on PUP or something like that. So I'm already a little bit concerned about TJ Hawkinson. This has probably exacerbated that a little bit. But yeah, Justin Jefferson, I think, is still the wide receiver one, and I've got very few concerns.
Yeah, I think Hawkinson gets into a real tricky range now, because he's definitely still in his prime, and he has 2 or 3 years left, but he's not the type of guy that I would want to be rostering if I'm not competing this year. And if I am a serious competitor, I'd certainly rather have the older guys like Kelce or Kittle. And so I don't know that you can't really probably have much success dealing him right now. It doesn't seem like anybody's going to be super interested in acquiring him. You might be surprised at the signing that I chose as my second most impactful, but I am still a little bit of a believer in Russell Wilson. He did just sign a 1-year vet minimum deal, because why wouldn't you stick it to Sean Payton if you could under these circumstances? Good job, Russ. It's certainly cooking. He was my QB24. He is currently my QB22. I always kind of felt like he was going to get another chance, and I expect that he plays well enough that he gets another chance next year, but that's certainly not guaranteed. Do you have any hope left for us?
Yeah, absolutely. I said a couple of weeks ago on Twitter, I said that to me, Russell Wilson signing for the vet minimum is going to be one of the best free agent signings ever, because the hate went a bit too far. He's not a superstar. He's not worth certainly what the Broncos paid for him in the trade and that contract, but he's still a average NFL starting quarterback, and an average NFL starting quarterback's getting paid $40-45 million a year. Him playing on $1 million is a cheat code, quite frankly. He's cheaper than almost all of the rookie quarterbacks that are starting outside of Brock Purdy, I think. So yeah, I really like him. I think for me, there's a little bit of concern from a dynasty perspective, just because he is on that 1-year contract. Right. There is no guarantees he's going to be in Pittsburgh next year. There's no guarantees he's going to be a starting quarterback next year. So I'm a little bit hesitant to kind of go all in. I've got him valued in a similar range to you. I think realistically, you know, he was QB 14 last year. I wouldn't be shocked if he was in that similar range, sort of high QB 2 again this year. But just that uncertainty of next year and beyond means that he's got to be a back end QB 2 for me in Dynasty.
Right. Yeah. And I saw immediately after the signing happened, somebody in one of my leagues, Superflex, of course, sends me a trade offer, wants to send me. And I say this a lot, but in a Superflex league, for the most part, a guaranteed starting quarterback generally gets a late first as kind of a minimum. If you could usually get more if they're any good. And he sends me Russ for my 2025 first. Well, I've got that roster is teetering right now. I'm not sure at all that I'm actually going to be a contender this year. I'm things go really bad, and that 2025 first could be a good pick. And so I said no, but he was able to trade Russ and I think one more piece for a 2024 first. If you're a contender, are you giving up your pick 10, 11, 12 for Russ this year if you need a quarterback?
I think I'd rather go and probably go and fire the similar pick at maybe a guy that I perceive has got higher upside but also a similar floor in, you know, Matthew Stafford or Aaron Rodgers, who have also got perhaps a little bit more security next year. But yeah, if those guys aren't available and I'm absolutely desperate for, you know, a QB2 or a QB3 perhaps, and that's the only deal I can get, yeah, I'd hold my nose and wouldn't feel particularly happy about it. But yeah, I would make that move.
If you could get him for a second, you love it, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Any second, I'd happily do that.
Okay. Yeah. Agreed completely. So I've been a little bit higher for the last few months, it seems like, than George Pickens. Had him at wide receiver 25 before this. He's up to wide receiver 23. I'm afraid that if the reports are positive early, I'm going to get out of control on George Pickens, because I do think that that when Russ is good, what he really does well could turn in a top 12 season from George Pickens. And so I wonder where you are at on Pickens. Is there a chance this completely unlocks him?
I was so excited about Pickens when they brought in Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator, because I was like, we know George Pickens is fantastic as that true X outside receiver between the numbers and sidelines. We know he's got that. Where he basically never ran routes under Matt Canada was those in-breaking routes. That's what Arthur Smith's been fantastic. You know, you go back to the Tennessee days of AJ Brown on those digs and slants. That's where he feasted. I was like, if we can unlock that part of George Pickens' game, he's going to be a superstar. And then they signed Russell Wilson, and I'm like, he doesn't throw over the middle.
That's
he
true.
Really struggles between the numbers. So are we going back to just George Pickens being a true outside receiver who doesn't have those kind of in-breaking routes and add that piece to his game? So.
Right.
It's kind of cooled my hopes a little bit. I still think, you know, he's kind of Cortland Sutton plus what he was last year. I think he's going to be probably better in best ball than redraft, because those outside the numbers targets are a little bit more boom bust, a little bit more high variance. But I think, yeah, he's one of those players in that range that's absolutely, as you said, got that top 12 wide receiver outcome. I'm just a little bit confused quite how his role is going to develop, because Arthur Smith and Russell Wilson probably are slightly diverging opinions on what works.
It's interesting too, because they said they spent so much time together. I'm curious to see how, because like, have there been two more maligned characters in the NFL over the last 12 to 24 months than Arthur Smith and Russell Wilson for different reasons? But I do think what Pickens has 9 career touchdowns in his first 2 years in the league. I'd love to see what kind of odds I can get on a 10 touchdown season. Cause I almost expect that for George Pickens this year. A couple other guys on that roster though. And one of them was consistently viewed kind of in that same range, that borderline wide receiver 2 range, if not higher for a while, Diontae Johnson, has always been fantastic at getting open, but not great at turning that into fantasy production. And Pat Freiermuth, who had a couple of good years and then a complete bust last year. Do you have any hope for those guys, or are you just trying to shop them off this news and hope you can sell one last time?
Well, I've got a serious Diontae Johnson problem. I'm a big believer. I was banging the drum. I can't remember if it's 3 years, 4 years ago, that he was criminally underrated, and he had that overall, I think, wide receiver 8 season. So yeah, I've probably got a little bit of a blind spot when it comes to Diontae Johnson evaluation. I still think that he fits really well with Russ. We see, yes, he's slightly undersized, but he still runs those routes outside the numbers and could potentially be a kind of a stud there. And I think he could potentially work well in this offense. My concern is that we've seen trade rumors over the last couple of days. And yeah, it's hard to get excited about a guy when we basically have no idea where he could be playing football next year. So yeah, I'm concerned about Deontay. Pat Prime, he's just kind of a mare at tight end. He's a guy that if you have him, you're always looking for an upgrade. If you don't have him, you're never going to go out and pay anything to acquire him because you're always looking for someone that's slightly better. So yeah, he's kind of going to end up probably high-end tight end two, back-end tight end one, but you never really want to start him or never really want him on your team, quite frankly.
I'll be also really interested, and I don't have an answer to this, but what happens to the running back targets in the Steelers offense? Because I know like people were making a lot about how much Russ threw to his running backs last year, but I think that was entirely a Sean Payton thing. That's not really something he did a lot in Seattle. And so, it is something that Arthur Smith's done though. So like whether it's Najee or it's Jaylen Warren, I'll be interested to see that as well. But I don't think we have any real reason to feel like we know the answer at this point. We're just going to have to wait and see. We'll get to the running backs now. Josh Jacobs signed with the Packers. They released Aaron Jones. And I think I saw this morning that Aaron Jones signed with the Vikings. So we'll, but you know, or at least is heading that direction. Is Jacobs your top ranked dynasty running back that moved yesterday?
No, but he's back to back with somebody that I'm sure we'll talk about in a minute. But yeah, he's very close.
Is he a top 12 dynasty running back?
For he's running back 10 for me right now. Yeah, I think he jumped up a couple of spots. I was shocked that he got the money he did, and I'm so excited about him in this offense because I think that he basically fits what Green Bay's been looking for and hope they were getting in terms of AJ Dillon when they drafted him. And I think that he's going to mesh perfectly with that true thumper between the tackles with a really exciting offense in terms of the wide receivers, the tight ends. Jordan Love, I think, has ascended to a huge level. So yeah, very, very excited about what he could be in this offense.
They've definitely put a good team around him, and they are all in. So let's go see what the Packers can do this year. Zamir White, kind of the guy left behind in Las Vegas for now. And there's not a whole lot of guys that I think we'd be certain are going to take that job away from him left in free agency. I've been pretty wait and see with Zamir White, and I probably will stay that way. But I do have him on the back end of a couple of dynasty rosters. He's currently right around RB30 for me. How excited are you? Do you think he's going to get a chance to just be the lead back, or would you be seeing if you could sell during rookie drafts?
Yeah, no, I'm super excited. I think what he showed at the back end of last year was fantastic. I think we know that Antonio Pierce is going to look to run the ball. I think bringing in Gardner Minshew, I think, reiterates that. You know, Gardner Minshew is not a guy that's going to push the ball downfield a huge amount. He's going to check down an awful lot, which I think is great for Zamir White, but we're going to run the ball also. He's running back 18 for me. So I appreciate I'm probably quite a lot higher than consensus.
Okay.
But there was some reports yesterday that the Raiders aren't going to look to bring anyone in. He is going to be their running back one. They'll probably look to draft somebody on day three. So yeah, I think that he's going to be a kind of 60 to 70% opportunity share guy. And there's not many running backs that you can kind of bank that in for.
Well, I had a team where I lost Khalil Herbert yesterday, but I also have Zamir White. So maybe we'll be okay yet. I think it's time for something we don't do on this show very often, but it's good. It's a little bit of breaking news here. And I had Thomas say, go check this, make sure it's right. Joe Mixon's not being released by the Bengals. Joe Mixon is being traded to the Texans. We've got the tweet from Ian Rappaport. So we're moving with it. This is like, I was going to ask about the guys who hadn't been signed yet or who had been cut and didn't have a job yet and like how concerned we were because this, like we've seen it multiple years. The last veteran running back to sign sometimes doesn't sign until camp. Now Mixon's on the Texans in a situation that we were mocking rookie running backs to go to. We were trying to get Saquon Barkley there. We expect this to be a very good run offense because of the people who are designing it, right? Like, this was supposed to be a highly efficient run offense. We didn't really get that last year, although Devin Singletary was pretty good in the second half. How excited are you for Joe Mixon on the Texans?
Yeah, I think if you're looking for a one-year rental, I think it's fantastic. It'll be interesting to see whether the Texans pay him any more money or he just ends up playing out on his current contract, because I think it could potentially be exactly that for the Texans in terms of that one-year rental. So, right. Yeah, I love that offense. You know, I want pieces of this offense. I think what Bobby Slowick did last year and certainly what CJ Stroud did, I think they showed that they wanted to run the ball more, but they didn't have the horses. Hopefully the offensive line is going to be healthier this year, because, you know, we talk about right. A lot of teams, what they did with that patchwork offensive line where it seemed basically everybody got injured almost every week, I think was phenomenal. And hopefully, yeah, I don't think Joe Mixon's going to be a truly elite kind of RB1, but this offense is probably going to score enough points and move the ball enough where, yeah, he's going to be in that RB2 range and hopefully help those contending teams that need that kind of final piece.
Yeah, I could absolutely see a high-end RB2 season. I think the one-year rental is exactly the way that the Texans and dynasty managers should look at this. He'll be 28 this year if he's not turned 28 already. I always use the age at the start of week one. And so you shouldn't expect anything beyond this year, but I think you should expect a starting fantasy running back. And I don't even know that I'm going to rank him much lower in Houston than I would have in Cincinnati. In fact, they actually seem to want him, and the Bengals may have thought Zach Moss was better. So I may like Joe Mixon a little more in Houston than I did in Cincinnati. I guess while we're here, we should go ahead and talk about the guy who made this trade possible. Zach Moss signed with the Bengals. They've now got Zach Moss and Chase Brown. I'd assume you'd much rather have Chase Brown in a dynasty league than Zach Moss.
I think. I've got him in the same tier is the true answer. I was talking this through with some of our members in our Discord this morning. I think I really like Zach Moss. I think this is going to be a kind of a 60-40 split in favor of Zach Moss. I think that Chase Brown is going to be explosive. I think he's going to have some incredible highlight plays, but I don't know if he's going to be able to see the bankable volume that you feel comfortable putting him in your lineup every week. I think if you're looking for that sort of boom bust flex type, great. That's where Chase Brown's going to be. But I don't know if we're going to be able to pencil in kind of 10, 12 touches a week. So it might be that he needs a big play to be fantasy relevant. So I think Chase Brown's probably that better and best ball type. Whereas Zach Moss, I think what he showed at the beginning of the last year with the Colts, I think he's hugely underrated. And I think that he could be a really interesting kind of check down option for Joe Burrow, but also in that kind of power, you know, duo gap led run scheme that the Bengals are looking to run.
Yeah, it will. I think at the very least, if you had him on your bench, it's kind of found money. And hopefully we can get some startable weeks. I think it's a 3-year age difference between Brown and Moss, but that doesn't matter as much if Brown is never capable of being a guy that touches the ball more than 200 times in a season. Let's take one more short break. We've still got Saquon Barkley, DeAndre Swift, Tony Pollard, and more. Okay, Rich, we are back. Let's get to the guy who I assume is your highest rated running back that moved yesterday. That's Saquon Barkley going to the Eagles on a deal that we think is going to guarantee him 2 years as the Eagles starting running back. There may be a little bit of mystery there. I had him at RB19. I moved him to RB16. It sounds like you think that's way too low. You have what percentage of Saquon, like this is a kind of an off percentage of like rookie and second year Saquon Barkley do you think is still left?
I think a lot of it. I think he's still an elite athlete. I think his issues last year were more Giants related than Saquon Barkley related. I think if you look at the numbers, so he was hit in the backfield on 46.6% of run plays last year. DeAndre Swift was hit the lowest in the league at 28%. And I think that's to me speaks wonders if the Giants offensive line was awful outside of Andrew Thomas, who then got injured. And I don't think that the quarterback situation helps. The teams are just loading the box and asking Saquon to kind of beat them. So yeah, I'm really excited about what he's going to be in this offense with, you know, teams can't put eight in the box because you've got AJ Brown, Devonta Smith, and Dallas right. Goedert to play with. So I think he's going to get lighter boxes. We know that he's that explosive home run threat. He's probably not going to be, you know, 4 yards a carry every single snap. He's going to be 2 yards, 2 yards, 30 yards. That's just how Saquon Barkley is. And that's going to lead to some boom bust weeks. But I'm really excited about what he could be. And I also think that the knock I've seen, certainly in the last 24 hours, is, oh, well, Saquon Barkley lives on the receiving game and he's going to see less targets because of Jalen Hurts. Last year, Saquon Barkley averaged 4.2 targets a game. The Eagles averaged 5.2 targets a game to running backs last year. So even if you're adding in targets to Kenny Gainwell, or I don't even know if Boston Scott's still on the roster.
Boston Scott's always on the roster.
I think we're basically seeing a kind of basically negligible difference from the amount of targets he got last year. And there's some potential upside as well in terms of if Jalen Hurts continues to check the ball down more and become a more rounded passer and stop scrambling so much, it gives that ceiling that Saquon Barkley's not had in the last 2 years in, quite frankly, an awful offense in New York.
Yeah, I think it's a double-edged sword, because like, I 100% agree with you that the rushing efficiency is going to be much better. The situation is, offensive line is incredibly better. The passing game is much better. It's two things. It's the target volume. And I do think you're right. It could be what it was last year, but not what it was earlier in his career when it was way more than four targets per game. But then also it's the touchdowns. And Barkley hasn't scored a ton. I think he has 10 total touchdowns each of the last two seasons for the Giants. So it's not like he's been a 15-20 touchdown guy regularly, but Jalen Hurts was a 15 touchdown guy last year. So I think it's the combination of the passing game. And then what he's a year older, year and a half older than Jacobs is. I do think that more people will be where you are with Barkley over Jacobs. I'll still lean ever so slightly to Josh Jacobs. What if you're, let's say you are a contender, rookie draft is coming up. You need a running back. You don't like any of the backs in this class. What's the highest rookie pick you would give up for Saquon Barkley?
I'd probably pay about the 108, 109. Don't think I'd probably pay more than that. I don't like paying for basically running backs on second contracts, quite frankly. Right. I'd rather go and spend a second to get a cheaper running back than spend a first on someone like Barkley, quite frankly.
No, I agree with you. I think another problem I have with it is I don't really like trading for veteran running backs this time of year. I'd like to see who's healthy in October and then we'll make a decision who we're going to trade for. But I also know that if I had Saquon Barkley, I'd be heavily shopping him. And if I wanted to trade him, I'd be trying to get that deal done before I had to carry the risk of him getting hurt in week one or week two or week three and losing that asset. So you might get pushed into a situation where if you want to make that trade for him, you're not going to be waiting until the end of the season. We'll now talk about the guy who was in Philadelphia. DeAndre Swift joins the Chicago Bears. Another small boost for me from RB20 to RB18. Another really, I'm not sure about the situation. I don't know if this is going to be a good offense for Swift, who's, you know, he's shown in the past an ability to be efficient with really good run blocking. This will probably be the worst offensive line he's had his career. He's had good success in the passing game. I don't know how much Caleb Williams, I assume, or Justin Fields, or how many designed pass plays Shane Waldron's going to draw up for a running back. So where are you at on this move for Swift?
I really hate it. I don't understand it at all. I, like you, I'm quite a big fan of Khalil Herbert. I think that he's, if I'm being honest, a better pure rusher than DeAndre Swift. I don't understand, when you've got Herbert and Roshon Johnson, why you go out and spend money on a running back that's got some clear flaws. He's dropped down to running back 28 for me. I think that I can't guarantee he's going to get the receiving work, because I don't know if it's Caleb Williams or Justin Fields. I don't know how much either of them are going to check down. Both of them look to scramble. I also think that Roshon Johnson, you know, he's probably one of the best young pass protectors in the league. So are we going to take him off the field to put DeAndre Swift on? I don't know. I don't know how much work he's going to get in and around the goal line. So are we just saying he's a first and second down back between the 20s and isn't getting the targets and isn't getting the touchdown production. So that's what I'm looking for, those high value touches of targets, right, goal line touches, things like that. And I'm not convinced that Jondre Swift's going to get there. He's probably going to have some really nice weeks because of the type of player he is, in terms of he is an explosive threat. He's, you know, can score from anywhere on the field, quite frankly. So he's going to have some really nice highlight plays, but I don't know if he's going to have that bankable week to week production, given the fact he's probably going to be, yes, the head, but it's going to be a three-headed committee.
Yeah, exactly. And you mentioned Roschon Johnson and his pass blocking ability. I think there's a lot of very nervous Roschon Johnson fantasy managers this morning. What is your level of hope for him?
I wasn't hugely high on him coming out. So I was more of a Herbert guy than Roschon Johnson guy. But I think it's hard to see him being a startable fantasy relevant player without there being at least one injury to either Swift or Herbert. I think he's that bench stash that you're waiting for a potential injury for him to get into any sort of lineup right now.
We also had Tony Pollard joining the Titans. Another situation where we've got kind of a new offense. We've got Pollard, who excelled in terms of efficiency in a 1B role, really struggled last year, and a lot of people have pointed towards him coming off the injury. In fact, Tony Pollard pointed towards his coming off the injury and said he felt better in the second half. But in another situation where we had Tyjae Spears already there, we were ready to anoint Tyjae Spears, and that doesn't look to be happening now. What do you think? What do you envision this split looks like between Pollard and Spears with the Titans?
Yeah, I was very high on Spears and very hopeful. See, I was crying last night. But I think this is going to be a kind of 65-35 split. I think when a team goes out and pays the amount of money that they have to Tony Pollard, they're going to use him. They've got the Callahans in place, and we know that it's going to be a really good offensive line, a really good, well schemed up run game. I think Tony Pollard, you mentioned the injury. From week 11 on, I think it was, he was the number one ranked PFF in rushing grade. So I think he showed back end of the year that he's still that player. He's still got that home run potential. And yeah, I'd have loved both of them to get full workloads. But I think it's going to be back end RB1 maybe for Tony Pollard, but he's probably going to settle in as like an RB2 with Tyjae Spears as that sort of boom bust flex option.
So I had made a joke tweet after this signing was announced that I was going to go send third round draft pick offers for Tyjae Spears. And you know how Twitter is. I get some people saying this is really smart, and I get some people telling me I'm a terrible dynasty manager and they'd never want me in my league because that offer is so terrible. So Rich, since you were high on Tyjae Spears and the bad news has just hit, anywhere you don't have him, what's the most you would give up in terms of a rookie draft pick for Spears right now?
I'd still pay kind of a mid to late second, I think, which is probably about where he was going in rookie drafts last year. I think the knee potential issue of don't know if he's got much cartilage or ACL left in his knees, and there was the reports he could only play for sort of 3-4 years. But he's incredibly explosive, and I think that if there is a Tony Pollard injury, he's got top 12 upside. So that's the kind of guy that I'm looking to potentially roster as, yeah, he's kind of cheaper because there's a guy ahead of him. But if there's an injury, he could be a league winner.
Absolutely. And so like, I think if the fair price is a mid to late second, nobody should be too angry at me for sending an offer of a third. If you don't like that, just counter with a second and then we can talk about it. But that's the way that trading works, right?
Absolutely. You got to, you know, you don't ask, you don't get. So you got to ask the
question. You don't. My dad said something very similar to me when I was young. And that's always stuck with me. It's like, if you might as well ask and find out. I've got some rapid fire questions here, but since we do have an extra minute before we get to those, I want to talk about Austin Eckler going to Washington, one of the smaller deals. He was one of the veterans I was most concerned about. He'll now be presumably sharing with Brian Robinson in Washington. You think this is a situation where Eckler's mostly just a passing downs back, or they're going to split early downs work, or you think he's going to be the clear lead back and Brian Robinson's just a bench piece?
I think this is going to be a really clear, natural first, second down satellite back split. I think it's going to be almost what we saw with Melvin Gordon and Austin Ekeler back at the start of Austin Ekeler's career, where Brian Robinson's going to carry the ball between the tackles. He's going to get the goal line work. Austin Ekeler's basically going to be situational and passing down work. And I was really low on Austin Ekeler last year. I thought with the way his contract was structured, I don't have a huge amount of hope for him in terms of fantasy relevancy. So yeah, if somebody is buying into him off the back of this news and thinks he's going to be the lead back in Washington, I'd happily sell right now.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent stuff. Let's get to some rapid fire. You can be as quick as you want with these. Who is the starting quarterback week one for the Raiders?
Gardner Minshew, $12.5 million a year. That's more than backup money.
Love it. Love it. I'm going to go follow up here that you don't know is coming, but Superflex League, who would you rather have on your roster, Gardner Minshew or Sam Darnold?
Gardner Minshew.
Gardner Minshew. Absolutely love it. Does Gus Edwards matter in 2024?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that knowledge of that scheme and his, you know, he's probably the best short yardage back in the league that's got a contract right now. I think he's going to be at least flex worthy. I think he's going to get a high volume of touchdowns.
Okay. True or false? Gabe Davis makes everyone on the Jags offense better.
True. I think he's going to come in and basically be the replacement for Zay Jones. We saw last year what happened with Calvin Ridley, what happened this entire offense when Zay Jones was on the field. And I think Gabe Davis is just, you know, twice as good as Zay Jones. So yeah, really love it for this entire offense.
And I'll add that I think it even helps Travis Etienne because Gabe Davis is one of the better blocking wide receivers. And Etienne, kind of like you mentioned with Barkley, one of those home run hitters at a running back, there might be one fewer defensive back downfield to stop him once he breaks past the line of scrimmage.
They need someone to block because we know Evan Engram and Christian Kirk certainly aren't doing it. So yeah, it'll help out a little bit.
Now, maybe the biggest loser, unless you just kind of expected this, and there are certainly people on Twitter this morning who want you to know how smart they are and that they did expect this, but Justin Fields' trade market, depending on who you believe, maybe non-existent. What's the least that you would take for him in a super flex league right now?
I've been concerned about Fields. I did a video after week four last year kind of urging everybody to sell because I was convinced that he was done as a kind of long-term starter. So I'm probably not the most optimistic, but I would happily take the 112 for him in a Superflex league right now.
Okay. So you're and as of right now, your expectation is he's probably not starting this year.
I just don't see situations. I track kind of quarterback landing spots. I've got a spreadsheet and basically the only one left where he could go that I'd expect it is Denver because right. I think the only other ones are New England and Minnesota. And I think we've seen Darnold come in. We've seen Brissett come in. And I think that both of those are probably going to draft a rookie. So it's Denver and I don't think really Sean Payton would like him probably.
I don't think Sean Payton would like him at all. I saw somebody floating Seattle. And that I could see making sense. Like if you really want to just run the ball, and I think Mike McDonald might like just run the ball 550 times, then maybe he thinks I can build a Baltimore West out here with Justin Fields.
My concern is I don't think he's better in 2024 than Geno Smith.
Right.
So if you're trading for him, you're trading for him in 2025. As in for the 2025 season, right. But at which point you've then got to extend him and pay him a lot of money. So do you want to trade him for a potential downgraded quarterback? I get the points that he could be really interesting in terms of that rushing side, but I think Geno Smith is an above average NFL starting quarterback right now. And I think, yeah, he might not be dynamite for fantasy and dynasty, but in terms of NFL,
yeah,
I think Geno Smith is head and shoulders above Justin Fields.
That's what we always have to kind of be careful with when we've got a regime change like this is because what does the new staff think of Geno Smith? And that's what we'll find out over the next couple of weeks and months. This is going to hurt, so I'll just prepare you in advance. Do I have to hold Khalil Herbert through my rookie draft if I've got to drop people to make spots to draft rookies? Do I have to hold them?
Yeah. I mean, this comes back to my point at the beginning. This is why you play in deep leagues, so you don't have to have the pain of dropping someone like Khalil Herbert. But yeah, I think if we're talking rookie picks, I'd probably take him mid third round. So if you're dropping him for a guy that, you know, you're taking later than that in your rookie draft, I'd happily keep him and find someone else to drop.
Same for Dameon Pierce.
No, I'm less excited about Dameon Pierce. I'd trade him away for a box of beans right now. I've got no hope or upside there.
What about Antonio Gibson?
I don't see a world in which he carves out a good role. I think Ramondre Stevenson is better in every aspect of basically running the ball, receiving the ball, whatever. So I think he's again an injury away. So yeah, if you need the roster spot, I'm happy moving on from Antonio Gibson.
Truly awesome stuff today, Rich. Remind everyone where they can find your draft guide.
Yeah, so you can find it. We're on YouTube, the Fantasy Sanctuary. It's at the FFF Sanctuary. It's free to all of our members from Silver and Gold tier. So you can hit the join button on Twitter and go give a subscribe that way there.
Short programming note, I will be back with you on Friday. We'll talk about the rest of the free agency news here on Fantasy Football Today Dynasty. I will be off next week, but we will have a show pre-recorded for you. So one show next week, back to our normal schedule the following week. Thank you for listening.